What's up? Welcome to another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2. Shout out to Bitch 1 who is still out of the country. Te extraño, amiga. Espero que te estés divirtiendo. So, I'm flying solo for a little bit, but not to worry. I'm not going to dedicate a whole episode to Devin Booker like I threatened on a previous episode, but I will talk a little bit about the USA men's basketball team because today I'm going to do some Olympic shout-outs. The closing ceremony was on Monday, so I just want to give a shout-out to some people who stood out during the games. And shout-out to the fact that the Olympic Games even happened amidst everything that's going on in the world. And by going on, I don't just mean the pandemic. That's definitely major. But if you listen to the blurbs that they say about each country during the opening ceremony and various events, there are places dealing with economic crisis, famine in some shape or form, civil war in some countries. And just amidst all of that, on top of the pandemic, it's amazing that the world was able to come together to make this happen. So good job, world. We did it. And thank you to the host country of Japan. And especially thank you to all the athletes who participated and really anybody who participated, whether you were media, a coach, supporting staff, whatever. There are a lot of people who are inspired by what they see during the Olympics. It gives them hope. It gives them motivation. So although there was a lot to say about whether or not it should happen, a lot of people are glad that it happened. So let's get into it. And I just want to start by saying, anybody who's listening to this, if you think I should have mentioned someone that I didn't mention, because listening to the voice messages that this podcast gets, people have thoughts about people I haven't mentioned previously for various forms of recognition, let's just say. Just shout us out. Go to our website, leave us a voice message, tweet us, email us, whatever. But a few people can only do so much in the way of research and watching, yeah? All right. So that being said, I'm going to start off by shouting out Raisa Leal. Raisa Leal is a Brazilian skateboarder who won silver in women's street skateboarding. Now, although this event is for women, Raisa is only 13 years old, and I'm shouting her out because she is actually the, if you've ever seen the viral video of, in a lot of places it's called the Little Fairy of Skateboarding, that was a video that was recorded when she was 7 years old, and it went viral because she was on a skateboard in this big fluffy dress with fairy wings, and well, a lot of people thought that was pretty cool. And so that Little Fairy Skateboarding became an Olympian representing Brazil and won silver in women's street skateboarding. So I thought that was pretty cool to go from a viral video to a world champion, an Olympian. So shout out to her. Next shout out is for Sydney McLaughlin, who broke the world record for 400 millimeter hurdles. Now, actually, she and Delilah Muhammad both broke the existing world record in that event, but it was McLaughlin representing the US who came out on top and won the gold medal while Muhammad took the silver. So shout out to both of them, but special shout out to McLaughlin for representing the US and taking home the gold. Next, we have Katie Ledecky, a female swimmer that has 7 Olympic gold medals and 15 world championship medals, the most in history for a female swimmer. She took home the silver in the 400 meter freestyle, which some people said she only got silver. Look, if you're an Olympian and you go and represent your country among the best athletes in the world and you get a silver medal, there's no only to that. You've accomplished something. I don't even know what the percentage is, but there are not very many people at all who can say they ever did that. So shout out to you regardless. I know I don't have to tell most athletes that, but there's just a lot of people on social media who are like, oh, this person only got silver. This person only got bronze. And I just want to be like, and you only have what? Go home. All right, moving on. The next shout out is for Caleb Dressel, a male swimmer representing the US, who won his first ever individual Olympic gold medal in the men's 100 meter freestyle. He also set an Olympic record with that event. He went on to win individual gold medals in the 100 meter butterfly, where he set a world record, and the 50 meter freestyle, where he set an Olympic record. So shout out to him. Ryan Crouser gets the next shout out. Interesting story. If you watched when he won gold, he held up a sign that said, "Grandpa, we did it, 2020 Olympic champion." It just so happens that it was in his grandfather's backyard where he first threw a shot put. And sadly, his grandfather passed away just before he left for Tokyo to compete. Still, Ryan found it within himself to compete and did really well. He won gold in the men's shot put final and set an Olympic record 3 times during that event. He also holds the current world record for that event. Next, I want to acknowledge Christine Mboma from Namibia. Now, Christine's story is interesting because she was blocked from her best event by the Caster Semenya rule. Now, the Caster Semenya rule is a ruling from World Athletics that was put into effect in May of 2019. And essentially, it bans cisgender female or intersex athletes with differences of sexual development, that's what they're calling it, from competing as females in certain track and field events unless they undergo medical intervention to lower their natural testosterone levels. This ruling was so specific that many people assume it was specifically targeted at Caster Semenya. And by specific, I mean it targets only athletes who compete in 400-meter, 800-meter, and 1500-meter races. The rule prohibited Christine from competing in the 400-meter, but it did allow her to compete in the 200-meter. So she changed events just to be able to compete. And the reason why the ruling doesn't apply to the 200-meter event is because, according to World Athletics, they say that only track events run over distances between 400 meters to 1 mile are where the most performance-enhancing benefits can be obtained from elevated levels of circulating testosterone. That's what they've asserted. Additionally, the ruling only applies to international events. World Athletics claims that they only limit these 3 events in order to allow athletes with differences of sexual development the opportunity to compete in as many events as possible as the gender with which they identify. However, they do reserve the right to review all events and widen the restrictions to include other events should future evidence indicate there's justification to do so. I won't get too much more into that. I'm sure we'll talk about that on another episode because that conversation surrounding gender differences in athletics and developmental differences and whether or not gender is actually binary is ongoing. But shout out to Christine for still finding a way to compete and still finding a way to be great despite actual rulings that prevent her from being an athlete in the events that she was trained to compete in. Next, the next shout out goes to someone that I was not aware of before this Olympics, but who I think is absolutely amazing, and that is Tamira Mensah-Stock. She is the first Black woman to win gold in wrestling, the second U.S. woman to win gold, but the first Black woman to win gold. And interestingly enough, she previously won the U.S. Olympic team trials ahead of the 2016 games, but since the U.S. didn't qualify in her weight class, she wasn't able to compete in the 2016 Olympics. So she kept doing what she was doing, came back, qualified for 2020, and went to the games in Tokyo. In several of her interviews, she was asked about representation. One of the popular quotes that was pulled was when she was asked, "What does her win mean for young girls watching the Olympics?" She said, "It means that they see someone like themselves on that podium, showing them just because you're a female, it doesn't mean you can't accomplish the biggest of goals." And that is facts. And I hope anyone can be inspired by her story. Men, women, boys, girls, everybody. But one thing I have to point out is that when it comes to the Olympics, there's men's divisions and women's divisions, which means anyone who's watching the Olympics knows that a woman is going to accomplish something at a high level. But the fact that she is a Black woman is significant to me. So let me turn the music down and break this down for a second. Anytime you set a big goal, a high goal, something that requires you to perform at the highest level, you're going to come up against obstacles. There are going to be roadblocks, whether they are external roadblocks, like access to certain resources, or internal roadblocks, like your own perception of yourself, your mental health, and various forms of discouragement that a person might experience as they're going after a goal. And anytime you're a minority in any way, whether it's your race, your sex, your sexual orientation, your gender identity or expression, religion, your class or socioeconomic status, whatever, when you're a minority in some way, it becomes so easy to take that discouragement that really any person might experience and look around at the landscape and think that your differences are a sign that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. It becomes so easy to say, well, you don't see any other Black women wrestling. Maybe there's a reason for that. You don't see poor kids playing tennis. Maybe there's a reason for that. If you go back a few decades, what if women had said, you don't see women playing basketball. Maybe we shouldn't really try. You know, maybe this is a futile attempt at making this a thing. You know, you don't see any gay dudes playing football, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. And so shout out to anybody who has found themselves being a minority in the sport in which they compete or the industry in which they find themselves occupying, because that can be tough. You experience the same discouragements as anyone else, maybe even more, because sometimes that discouragement will be external. Sometimes it goes from you saying to yourself, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, to some person saying, you're too poor, you're too Black, you're too feminine to do this. So I definitely appreciate her shouting out all women, but to me, her being Black is really significant, because now not only will young Black girls see a Black woman wrestling, they're going to see her doing it at the highest level and dominating and winning at the highest level. And that is good for the sport. It's good for the world's perception of what we're capable of. It's just all around good shit. So I love you, Tamara. Keep doing what you're doing. Now, speaking of representation, Allyson Felix gets the next shout out. And while it's not uncommon to see Black women participating in track and field, but at age 35, she is the oldest U.S. woman to ever win a track and field gold medal. And ageism is something that a lot of athletes, especially women, have to deal with and compete with, not only internally, but externally. It comes up a lot. So shout out to her for accomplishing that at her age, which I don't consider to be old, but a lot of people need to see that as an example to realize that 35 is not old and you can still do a lot, even in your mid-30s. Now, on top of that, she also dealt with some issues because of her pregnancy. Allyson Felix suffered from a life-threatening condition called preeclampsia, which causes dangerously high blood pressure, and if it goes untreated, it can kill both the mother and the baby. Her daughter Cameron was born prematurely at 32 weeks after Allyson was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia. And so, just so you know, preeclampsia is 60% more common in Black women than white women, and the U.S. has the highest maternal mortality rate of any developed country. So this situation had to have weighed on her, both physically and mentally. But Allyson used her experience to educate herself and to become an advocate for mothers. In one quote, she said, "I am more than a sprinter, more than an Olympian. I am a mom. If I can use my voice and platform to speak on the inequalities facing Black pregnant women and the Black maternal mortality rate, I absolutely will." That deserves recognition in and of itself. But on top of all that, on the business side, she experienced some discrimination from Nike. When she became pregnant, Nike offered her 70% less on her contract. Not 25, not 50, 70%. And when she tried to stand up for herself and negotiate, she was told to know her place. So what'd she do? She ended up leaving Nike altogether and created her own shoe. It's called Sage One. You can pre-order them now online and they're available in September. She ran in these shoes at the Olympics in Japan, and now she has 11 Olympic medals. not all gold. She has 7 gold, 3 silver, and 1 bronze. But those 11 medals break her tie with Carl Lewis, making her the most decorated track athlete in American history. Not the most decorated woman, the most decorated track athlete of any gender in American history. So thank you, Allyson Felix, for being an example to women, for being an example to and an advocate for moms, and just for having the courage and tenacity to walk away from something that you knew you deserved better than, and to create something for yourself and actually prove its worth on the biggest stage. That is amazing. That is an amazing story. So shout out to Allyson Felix. The next shout out goes to Gabby Thomas, who was actually inspired to start running by seeing Allyson Felix. She is an American track and field athlete and the 3rd fastest woman of all time in 200 meters. Gabby won an individual bronze and a team silver in Tokyo. Gabby Thomas is a graduate of Harvard University with a degree in neurobiology and global health. And since graduation, she has moved to Austin, Texas to be coached by Tanya Buford Bailey, a former U.S. Olympic athlete and current men's and women's track and field sprint and relay coach at UT Austin. And Thomas is currently pursuing a master's degree in epidemiology at UT Austin. I won't go too deep into it, but yeah, Austin could definitely use some feedback from some epidemiologists right now. The next shout out goes to Athing Mo. Athing brought the U.S. its first gold in 800 meters in 53 years. She just finished high school, graduated in 2020. She didn't compete in track for her high school. She competed for the Trenton Track Club, which is not affiliated with the school. But at age 16, she broke the American record in the 600 meters at the USA Track and Field Indoor Championships. And she is currently a freshman at Texas A&M, where she plans to major in kinesiology. She also currently holds the fastest 400 meter time in the US and the 4th best time in the world. Her 4x400 split at the NCAA championships is the fastest in collegiate history. Now, while we're on the topic of track and field, the US men's and women's 4x400 relay teams both get shout outs for winning gold. So on the men, we had Ray Benjamin, Bryce Stedman, Michael Cherry, and Michael Norman, and they earned the first track gold in these Olympic Games. On the women's side, we have Allyson Felix, Athing Mo, Sydney McLaughlin, and Delilah Muhammad. And everyone seemed to really just expect the women's team to smoke the competition, and here's why. The team was referred to as Team USA's Relay Super Team, and the track and field dream team because of each of the 4 women's remarkable accomplishments during these Olympics. So you had Sydney McLaughlin, who set a world record in the 400 meter hurdles, like we talked about earlier. Allyson Felix, the most decorated track athlete in American history. Delilah Muhammad, who ran the 2nd fastest 400 meter hurdle time in history. And Athing Mo, who won the first US gold in 800 meters in 53 years. So shout out to both of those teams for bringing home gold. The next shout out goes to Simone Biles, who won a bronze on balance beam at these games. Simone Biles says that this bronze medal means more to her than any previous medals and that she will cherish it a lot more. And that is completely understandable considering everything that she was going through and everything that she went through just to be able to compete. She posted on Instagram, "For anyone saying I quit, I didn't quit. My mind and body are simply not in sync, as you can see here. I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on hard competition surface, nor do I have to explain why I put my health first. Physical health is mental health." So right now, Biles is tied for the Olympic record for the most medals won by a U.S. gymnast. And some people had questions about what exactly prevented her from competing. Was it mental? Was it physical? From her statement about what she was experiencing, it was kind of both. The mental affected the physical. She said that she felt like the weight of the world was on her shoulders and it was a little bit much to carry. And she was feeling a lot of pressure coming into the competition. So yes, she was dealing with some mental health issues. She also suffered from what was called the twisties, which was when she said that she literally couldn't tell up from down. And so even though some people believe her career might be over, not only because of what she experienced, but also the stage in her career at which she experienced it, after training so long and accomplishing so much, a lot of gymnasts retire at this stage anyway, but she's also dealing with a lot or dealt with a lot. But I just wish her the best in whatever she decides to do, whatever she decides to pursue, and however she decides to move forward. She was an inspiration to so many people, not only for being honest about the issues that she was dealing with, but also for finding a way to overcome them on her own terms and doing it in a way that was not detrimental to her team and still being supportive to her team. She just set a shining example for athletes everywhere of how to acknowledge when you're dealing with mental health issues, but also how to handle them in a healthy way and still be a good teammate and still be a good representative of your team. Speaking of mental health, the next shout out goes to Naomi Osaka. Even though she did not want a medal at these Olympics, it was her first competition since withdrawing from the French Open. And that was the event where she got a lot of criticism for choosing to withdraw from the French Open to exercise self-care and preservation of her mental health. So even though she didn't medal at these games, I respect her for coming back to the sport and for being one of the main people to start this recent conversation about mental health and athletes. So shout out to her. Next shout out goes to Raven Saunders. Raven Saunders has also been very vocal about athletes and mental health. She won the silver medal in shot put, and when she was on the podium accepting her medal, she raised her hands and crossed her forearms to form an X. And she said that this gesture represented the intersection of where all people who are oppressed meet. Now, the IOC, for some reason, decided to open an investigation to determine if this particular gesture was a breach of their rules banning protests on medal podiums. I don't understand how you interpret something that represents an intersection of people as a protest, but whatever. Maybe just the idea that people would admit that there's oppression in this world feels like a protest to the powers that be. I don't know. It was ridiculous to me. But they later suspended the investigation after finding out that Saunders' mother passed away just days after watching Saunders win her first Olympic medal. It shouldn't have taken that for them to suspend the investigation. I don't think it should have been opened in the first place. And it is sad that this happened to Saunders. So I hope that she's doing okay wherever she is right now. But she wants to be a mental health advocate for athletes. And she also wants to help destigmatize mental illness. So she talks openly about her therapy, medication, meditation, and even sharing with close friends. So if you get a chance, check out the PBS short documentary called Out of the Dark. It is about Saunders' battle against depression, and just keep supporting her in whatever she does next. It'll be interesting to see what she does with this platform and how she uses it to advocate for the causes that she's been mentioning. All right, now on to basketball. So we had three different basketball teams win gold at these Olympic Games. The 3x3 women's basketball team won gold. This was the first time that this particular basketball event was featured in the Olympics. And representing the U.S., we had Stephanie Dolson of the Chicago Sky, Alicia Gray of the Dallas Wings, and Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young, both from the Las Vegas Aces. And they got that first gold medal for the event being featured in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Now, in addition to that, both the men's and women's U.S. basketball teams won gold in their basketball tournaments that took place at the Olympics. And it's interesting to me, especially on the men's side, that it almost looks like the NBA trains all these great players and then sends them out into the world to then eventually compete with the U.S. But despite the number of teams that have multiple competitors that are also NBA players, which most people would agree provides them the best training and experience for professional basketball players in the world, they still came out on top. They won gold. U.S. is still the best. And a similar thing happened on the women's side. Obviously, the WNBA is a younger association, but during the Olympics, there were 29 current and 22 former WNBA players competing among all the countries that competed at the Tokyo Olympics. So outside of the U.S., Australia has 5 current WNBA players, and Canada and Spain each have 3. So 8 of the 12 Olympic teams have at least one WNBA player, and 10 of the 12 WNBA teams are represented at the Olympics on the national team rosters. So that's just really interesting to me. So special shout outs on the women's side. First one goes to Diana Taurasi, who is the second all-time leading scorer for USA women's basketball. She is second behind Lisa Leslie's 488 points. Diana has 414 currently. But Diana is the all-time leading scorer in the WNBA. And Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird each won their 5th gold medals during these Olympic Games, and they are the first basketball players among men or women to win 5. So on that note, the next shout out goes to Sue Bird, who is 40 years old, because we talked about ageism earlier. So the fact that she's 40 and still competing at the highest level as a woman is amazing. She said this will be her last Olympic Games. She currently has 10 medals between the Olympic Games and the World Cup, which is more than any men's or women's basketball player. Asia Wilson gets the next shout out. She scored a team high 22 points in the game against France. And I've mentioned this before, but this was her first time competing in the Olympics. And she did not look like a newbie at all. She went out there, she was confident, she contributed to her team. So shout out to her, not only for being a scorer, but also for setting a shining example for young athletes everywhere. Brittany Griner also gets a shout out for leading all scorers in the game versus Japan with 30 points, which is an Olympic record in a gold medal game. Brianna Stewart gets a shout out for being named the Olympics MVP by FIBA. And Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart were also named to the Tokyo 2020 Women's All-Star 5. And the other 3 players were Rui Machida of Japan, Emma Miesman of Belgium, and Sandrine Gruda of France. And then on the men's side, we have Kevin Durant, first of all, who was named the Men's Olympics MVP by FIBA. And he also became the leading scorer in U.S. men's Olympic basketball history with 435 points. He's not the leading scorer among all basketball players because, like I said, Lisa Leslie has 488. He's at 435, but that's still a great accomplishment, so shout out to him for that. He also became the first men's basketball player to score 100 or more points in 3 Olympics. The next shout out from the men's side goes to Jason Tatum, who scored 19 points during the gold medal game against France, second only to Kevin Durant. He also had a team high 7 rebounds in 21 minutes off the bench. That's pretty cool. The last shout out on the men's side goes to Devin Booker, who scored a total of 56 points during the tournament. Had his highest scoring game against Australia, but some people said that he struggled offensively during the last 2 games. But here's the thing. Although he didn't score as many points as some people expected, he actually did really well on the defensive side. Really well. So well, in fact, that future Hall of Famer, Olympic gold medalist, and 8-time All-Star Vince Carter, who was announcing the game, complimented Devin Booker's defense several times. I feel like I need to issue an apology to Devin Booker, who I'm going to refer to as Book. I know people like the Dear Devin thing, find it funny, but I saw this tweet where he said apparently being called Devin makes him uncomfortable, so I'm going to try to respect that, but the Dear Devin thing is kind of catchy. Anyway, the reason why I feel like I need to apologize is because I was watching one particular game. I don't remember which one. I don't feel like going back to find it. But I was watching one particular game. I'm on Twitter at the same time, and I'm just searching various terms, USA men's basketball, searching Durant, searching Tatum, and then I search Booker, you know, all of this just to see what people are tweeting about these various people and teams. And when I looked up Booker, people were saying things like, oh, he's such a ball hog, he's not gonna pass the ball, yada, yada, yada. And I was watching that game, and before I even saw those tweets, I remembered thinking to myself that he was passing the ball a lot. And I had to go back to the beginning of the game just to make sure I wasn't tripping. And I was like, no, it's true. He didn't even attempt to shoot until his 5th touch. And by not even attempt, I mean, it was like no hesitation, just catch pass. It was not his intention to shoot at all. He was sharing the ball. He was being a team player. You know, he was, I'm assuming, executing the play. And so it was just interesting to me that there were these people on Twitter, multiple people who all felt the need to rip on him for being a ball hog, even when he wasn't being one. And so that's when I realized something. And so, Book, I'm going to say this to you. I know I was harsh before because I was disappointed in your performance. And it's not necessarily fair to expect an athlete to give the same performance every single night, but I was frustrated. What can I say? But I realized a fan-player relationship is a two-way street. Now, I was disappointed as a fan, but I wasn't being the best fan either. Athletes, especially star athletes, have so many haters online, in the media, everywhere. Those of us who are fans, the same way that we expect consistent performance from our favorite athletes, we've got to be consistent fans. We can't just all of a sudden jump ship because they have a bad night or two bad nights or three bad nights. Whatever. I don't know what the standard is supposed to be. All I know is that if you have a player, I'm talking to other fans now. If you have a player that you love, they need your support. There are so many people out here who don't even seem to be watching the game, but will find any reason to just talk shit about your fave. So let's just all try to be better fans, more supportive fans. I don't know if I'm getting way too touchy on this topic. Maybe it's not that serious, but that was just something that I realized. So that concludes my episode about Olympic shoutouts. But since we're on the topic of basketball, on a completely unrelated note, I just have to mention this because I feel like there won't be another episode where I have a reason to bring this up. Savage of the Week, even though I think he did this last week, but Savage of the Week goes to LeBron James. And here's why. There's a content creation group that refers to themselves as RDC World. And they've made a couple of skits where one of the members of this group imitates LeBron James in various ways. So in the most recent video, they basically were making fun of the unceremonious dismissal of several teammates of LeBron James from the Lakers and the fact that a few of LeBron's friends were brought onto the team to replace those teammates that were dismissed and traded away.
Right this way, y'all. Come on. Let's hurry up. All right, Montrez, be easy wherever you're going. Caruso, you know I messed with you, but we lost first round. Nah, I can't forget that one, man. See you later. Hey, Kuzma, did you get everything?
Yeah, I got everything.
Are you sure? Because you're not coming back. You know that, right, Kuzma?
Yeah, I got
it. All right, put on the red shirt. You really sorry. I just want you to never forget that. And get in the car. I'll see you in D.C. or China, whatever. I don't know.
All right, Bron.
Don't not call me Bron, it's LeBron. All right, you had 2 points. Do not forget that. Get in the car. KCP, you know what it is.
I feel like I was hooping, bro. You hold me, man. For real.
Okay, well, go hoop and dish to the company. Act like I don't care. You can be mad. Y'all go. Hey, look. Y'all drive safe. Hey, get them something on me. Yes, sir. See y'all later.
Now, the video itself is pretty funny, as you can probably tell from that audio, but you should definitely check out the video if you can catch it. But what makes LeBron himself the Savage of the Week is that LeBron shared this video on Twitter. Now, you might think, what's the big deal? He shared a video. But think about what is being said in this video. This video is basically saying that not only does LeBron have a considerable amount of influence when it comes to determining who is on the Lakers team and who isn't, you know, because some people believe that other people are making those decisions and maybe LeBron gets input. This video definitely suggests that, like, no, LeBron is actually in charge. And not only that, but he's not loyal to any of these teammates. If he's not satisfied, he will dismiss and trade away anybody at any point in time, regardless of who you are, what you think your position is on the team, and bring on people that he prefers, that he thinks are better, that he thinks he'd like working with better, that he thinks will help him win, and really not feel a way about it. So for him to share this video is basically sending a message to everyone that he doesn't mind being represented that way. And in so many words, it's also sending a message to those players that were traded away, that were dismissed from the team, saying, like, yeah, I did it, and I don't care how you feel about it. And I was just like, wow, you know, he could have ignored that video. He could have pretended like the messaging was off and that he's a little bit more compassionate or caring than what they represented. But no, he shared the video and basically said, yep, this is what it is, and I give zero fucks about it. That was the impression that I got from the fact that he shared that video. So LeBron gets Savage of the Week. I'm not really judging, just acknowledging, because like, hey, he's a billionaire. I'm not, so who am I to judge? But on that note, that's all we have time for on today's episode of Bitches Love Sports. I definitely want to talk more about what's happening in the WNBA right now. Nothing's really like happening. I know that kind of made it sound like there's some significant news story, but by what's happening, I mean games. Games that we should all be watching because they're awesome. So, gonna talk about those upcoming games. Gonna talk about Hard Knocks with the Dallas Cowboys on HBO at some point. And yeah, we're just gonna keep going. We're gonna keep going through the WNBA season. We're gonna keep going through football season and keep bringing our commentary to this podcast. So I hope y'all keep listening, keep liking, keep sharing. We definitely appreciate the support we've been getting thus far. And we welcome all the new fans to come. So thanks for listening. Y'all have a good weekend.